everybody, and welcome to Film Actually News for the 1st of April, 2012, and this is no joke. I am David McVeigh, and I'm joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm not quite sure. Why would it be a joke?
It's April 1st, dude. April Fool's Day.
See, I haven't actually had that from anyone yet. That's why I was so confused.
That's because we're adults now. Most of the time we don't do these things to each other.
Yeah.
My son walks around doing everything, and every move he makes is April Fool's. He's like, that wasn't a joke. And we're also joined by Richard Gray. How are you, Richard?
I'm fantastic, and I think Josh was actually just joking with you. That was his April Fool's joke.
There you go. That was meta.
Yeah.
That's a little too meta for me to take actual credit for it. Just saying.
Just do it, man. Just do it.
Take credit anyway. This is Film Actually News. This is our weekly news show where we deliver what we think are the interesting stories out of the entertainment industry in 30 minutes or less, or your money back, because we can boast that because you don't pay anything for it.
Yeah. Just have to remind everybody, just in case somebody tries to
Send us an email one day going, I want my money back. It's like, how much did you pay for this show? I will gladly.
Who are you paying it to?
Now, we must just apologize a little bit. Richard is having some connection problems, so if he starts to Cylon out, we'll just run with it anyway, and we'll see how we go, okay?
It's just how I kind of
like him as a Cylon.
You kind of like him as a Cylon. Do me a favor, Richard. You have to say, by your command.
By your command.
Oh, it's awesome.
That's so good.
All right, let's get on with the news, guys. The clock is ticking. And first off, I thought we might just talk a little bit about Ridley Scott, our favorite director at the moment, who came out in an interview with Empire Magazine this week talking about the rating for Prometheus. And he was basically saying that, yes, they are going for a PG-13 rating, boo. But what I thought was very interesting was he actually said that, yes, he would really like to make it a hard R movie. He said that, you know, let's face it, he doesn't want to pull any punches on this, but there is an economic issue, which is PG-13s financially makes quite a lot of difference. But he is going for R-grade shocks. And he actually said that he is pushing the boundary of PG-13 as far as he can possibly push it. What are your thoughts?
That would be 13 then. I mean, 13 is technically as far as PG-13 go.
Well, that's true. That's true. It has a number right there.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if he pushed it to like PG-14, I mean, dude, that could be awesome.
Mine goes to 11. Josh, you were about to say?
I'm just confused because, like, I am a fan of the concept of stretching something as far as you can go, and I also like the idea of trying to put as many heavy scares into a not so heavy film, and like we've seen films pull that off before, but I don't know whether I'll get the film I want if there's not at least blood.
Let me give you a quote from Ridley Scott himself, who says, "The question is, do you go for the PG-13, which financially makes quite a difference, or do you go for what it should be, which is R? Essentially, it's kind of R. It's not just about the blood, it's about ideas that are very stressful. I'm not an idiot, but I'll do everything I can to get the most aggressive film I can."
Well, I leave it in his capable hands then.
So I am curious to see what Ridley Scott can push out of a PG-13.
So am I.
Very curious indeed. Richard, now let's see if we can push through your Cylon voice and tell me from the headline probably what is one of those horrific ideas ever.
Yeah, well, and apparently it's been confirmed. Well, we've all been waiting for Twin Sequel.
I personally have.
Just hanging for it.
I've been waiting since 1988. I think was when the film came out. This is bizarre. You guys were talking about this last week. Apparently, you were talking about ill-conceived sequels last week anyway. Midnight with a Midnight Run sequel. And this is another idea, we're not quite sure who the target market is. This is Triplets, which is going to be a sequel to Twins, starring Eddie Murphy as the third brother to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Are these three people, I know, we know Schwarzenegger is, but are the other two really that hard up for cash?
Well, Eddie Murphy probably is.
Yeah. Really? I mean, yeah.
He's probably blown it all on hookers and blow or something.
Like, I mean, essentially, he's had...
I don't want to disparage him or anything, but, like, yeah.
I'm not going to the hookers and blow thing, but, you know, I mean, he had Tower Heist, and that did okay, but, I mean, like, what did we have before that? We had a whole bunch of really average family films.
Meet Dave.
Meet Dave. Oh, Meet Dave. Pluto Nash.
Amazing. Amazing. What are you talking about?
Oh, dear. All right. So that just begs the question, Danny DeVito. I mean, he's producing. He's in a very successful television show at the moment. Why is he doing this?
Hookers and blow.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. In his case, maybe.
Something on him.
Boy, you really are breaking up, Richard. We're going to see how we go. We're going to keep pushing through. Josh, tell me about Mother's Day.
Well, I just thought it was interesting. I'm not sure. Dave, did you ever see the original to this?
I did, and the original was actually banned in this country for years. I think it might still be in its uncut form.
And could you explain to me why that is? I didn't believe it.
No, it's banned because it's got a lot of sexual violence, and this was banned in the era when sexual violence was all over. It might also have to do with the fact that there is a scene in it where they actually pour Drano down a person's throat and it all froths out of their mouth, which is pretty gross. But
how was the film, though?
It's pretty ordinary. I mean, it's not terrible, and we're not talking Trauma Team terrible. It's actually not a bad, terrible horror movie. It's just not particularly good either. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well, I'm interested because I watched the trailer to this, which is available now. And everybody seems to be going on about the mum, and I didn't see anything in the trailer that made me think this mum is going to be particularly scary.
Oh, really?
But I'm going to go see it, but I'm thinking another Last House on the Left, which will be a lot of violence, a lot of things I didn't really particularly want to see, and then an ending which tried to make it all seem right. And that's what I assume I'm going to get with this.
Yeah, I'm just not sure if it was a film that ever needed to be remade. In saying it wasn't a Trauma Team film, by the way, I actually think it was produced by the two Trauma guys. It's just I don't know if it's actually a Trauma film. I say that now before somebody writes in and says, "Oh, you stupid idiot! It was produced by what are their names? Hertz and Kaufman or whatever they were, the two guys of who made up the Trauma Team." I think it was actually produced by them, but it's neither here nor there. Yeah, I just don't know if it was a film that needed a sequel. And the question is, if the original is banned, will the sequel and the remake get banned as well?
Well, it doesn't show from the trailer a lot of sexual violence. I did find that a bit weird when you said that, but I guess we'll see.
Well, fair enough. All right, I've got one that might kind of thrill us a little bit. Although in this day and age, I'm not sure if they can get away with the rating. But Justin Lin, who's kind of the hot ticket item at the moment after the kind of the reboot and rebirth of the Fast and Furious films, with the last three in particular, looks like he is going to be signed. I don't know if it's confirmed just at this point, but it looks like he's pretty close to directing a new version of Lone Wolf and Cub.
And you were a huge fan of this?
I loved Lone Wolf and Cub.
Okay.
And I think Justin Lin has got the right action chops to take this on.
Okay. I've never seen this film.
Haven't you?
No.
Oh, my God. It's actually five films in the series, but they did do a cut-down version for Western audiences known as Shogun Assassin.
Okay.
Yeah. And Shogun Assassin was known back in the 80s as being the goriest thing that ever walked the planet. It's basically about a lone samurai pushing around a baby in a cart, killing everything in sight, basically, with lots of decapitations and fountains of blood. Richard, you've seen Lone Wolf and Cub.
I have, but I was just trying to say as little as possible because I'm so long.
Justin Lin handling this?
Yeah, like I think it could be all right. I'm a bit worried because I'm a bit more of a fan of the original comic manga that it's based on.
Right.
It's epic. It goes for much longer than the original thing. I did see Shogun Assassin first, but yeah, definitely see the original versions if you can. They're available on Madman here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big box set. I don't think it needs to be remade. I don't see what the point of it is, but you know, I'm impressed with what Justin Lin's been doing, so he'll certainly bring some high action to it.
Absolutely. I mean, if he brings the sort of, excuse the pun, but the high-octane action of particularly Fast Five, we could have a really, really hot film on our hands. But as I say, you're right. Once again, do we need to remake it? Probably not. But if anybody is going to remake it, he might be the man to do it at this point. So, Richard, I know you're Cyloning out like crazy, but tell me, this is true.
Yes, it is true, actually. I'm going to try playing a quick clip. If this doesn't work, just tell me to stop. If I'm not it's breaking up.
Well, put it this way. If your clip starts to break up and we tell you to stop, I will actually insert it into the show anyway, because okay. I think this is well worth having a listen to.
Yeah, look, I put this in here. This is Ron Burgundy appeared on Conan O'Brien's show, Conan, this week, better known as Will Ferrell, to make a very special announcement. So here we go.
Good to see you, Ron.
Good
yeah.
to see you. I like to keep my chops up, jam with the cats here, you know? These cats, maybe.
Yeah.
Smoke a little tea afterwards.
Yeah.
See if a little backstage cutie ends up on my lap.
Yeah.
And then later that night, she's playing my flute. Right? And by flute, I mean my turgid penis. I've got one small criticism, and it's probably something only a professional like me would notice. But Conan, you look awful. Awful? You look like someone put a bright red fright wig on a skeleton and chucked it out of a helicopter. I mean,
really?
Yes. Yes. I'm being kind right now, okay?
All right, now listen. Right. So basically, that's the idea. You came on my show to play the flute and insult me? That was the idea?
No. I actually have an announcement. I want to announce this to everyone here in the Americas, to our friends in Spain, Turkey, and the UK, including England. That as of 0900 Mountain Time, Paramount Pictures and myself, Ronald Joseph Aaron Burgundy, have come to terms on a sequel to Anchorman.
Oh.
All right. What the listening audience doesn't know is that we've had to replace that entire clip because it was so choppy, but you get the point.
Dude, I thought that was the funniest thing I've heard in ages.
I love what he
I
says.
I think anyone taking a jab at Conan is
you
an
look
madman.
Awful.
Red fright wig thrown out of the helicopter.
All right, so Richard, because you're breaking up a little bit, we'll just recap that and basically say that Ron Burgundy is back. The Anchorman sequel is finally coming. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yay, baby. All right. Josh, I love this. Reboots are plenty.
Well, that's kind of how it is. I mean, if you've actually, if you follow the link, it's I had to read over this article like six times. Because I couldn't, at first I didn't believe it, and then I thought it was a joke, and then I started to figure out it wasn't, and then I had to break it up mentally, because there's like three stories in the one post. But it sounds like, do you remember Leprechaun?
Oh, I do.
And I don't mean like leprechauns as a concept, and I don't mean,
no,
you know,
the movie. I remember the movie, absolutely.
And we've all seen the horror, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Richard?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got this film that was okay. I think it got a sequel, didn't it?
Leprechaun?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it actually had a couple of sequels.
Yeah. So we've got a film that didn't really do the well anywhere. Kind of became, I wouldn't even call it a cult classic, because it's not good enough for me to want to rewatch. I remember watching it and going, yep, well, that's done. Yep, definitely. Definitely, that's finished. But what I think is interesting is that they're bringing it back and they're doing Leprechaun Origins. Now, that's interestingly enough to start with. Where it gets really interesting is that this is a joint venture between Lionsgate and WWE Studios. Now, I'm not sure if you've... no, don't laugh. Look...
Oh, are they going to cast some wrestler as the leprechaun and shrink him down?
Well, they're getting a wrestler called Hogswaddle. It's not a joke. That's his name. His name's Dylan Potzel. That's his actual name. That's not funny. Don't laugh at that bit.
I think that's pretty funny.
I might be a Cylon, but that's hilarious.
I want to know why he would change his name from that.
No, sorry. Hornswoggle. The name just gets better the more I look at it. Anyway, look. Okay, so this tiny wrestler is jumping in to take another jab at the Leprechaun films, which I think is fantastic. It's hit and miss with these films. Most of them are awful. I'm not sure if you guys saw The Marine. Did you see The Marine, Dave?
The Marine. Hold on. Oh, yes, I did see. I didn't see the whole film. I saw a little bit of The Marine. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I did see that other one they produced. So what was it called?
The Condemned.
That's the one with Steve Austin.
That one wasn't that bad.
That one was actually okay. I was surprised.
So I mean, like it was a total ripoff of it was one part Survivor, one part Battle Royale, but they managed to make it work.
Yeah, but they also produced, let's not forget, they produced that film starring Kane, that See No Evil or whatever. Well, that was awful.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm leaning that this will probably more towards the second half of those films, but it's happening. And the other interesting thing, kind of just tossed into this post, is apparently that there's another two Child's Play movies on the way.
I had heard that they were talking about rebooting Child's Play. I didn't know that.
Apparently, they're simultaneously going to be doing a reboot and a sequel.
Oh, good for them.
Probably the best way to put it.
I think so. I think Child's Play. Look, I'm actually a big fan of the original Child's Play. I think they kind of stretched the sequels out far longer than, I think it went past its expiry date. But I really like the first Child's Play.
Well, there you go.
When it came out. But I don't think I would watch a reboot of Child's Play.
I think you would. I don't think you could do it right.
No, I think it was kind of a thing of its time.
But then again, I can keep saying that because to this date, there's been very few horror sequels that have really worked. So,
well, there is that. I will bring up Halloween 3 Season of the Witch for you again.
Please don't.
Speaking of things of their time, Can we just talk Kevin Smith for a second? Because Kevin Smith was at a book launch. He actually wrote a book. And the story's not actually about the book. Yeah, that's so fine that he's written a book about his life and so forth. But at the book launch, he had this to say.
It's a feature. It doesn't make sense to me, especially the way I feel about things. But I do want to do it as a play. So I was, especially like when I was, and this wasn't even before I saw Book of Mormon. I'm not going to do a musical. I'm not that talented. But we went to see a seminar, a play that Alan Rickman was in. And it was absolutely, you've seen it too. It's a wonderful fucking show. Now Jeff Goldblum's in it instead of Alan Rickman. We saw it with Rickman. And it was great. It was a one-act story. You know, they do kind of fade to blacks or drop out.
All right, so what he's talking about here, and this video goes on for 4 minutes, so we won't play the whole thing. But what he is talking about here, of course, is Clerks 3 as a stage play.
Well, that's interesting.
It is interesting, but really? Really? I just kind of look at it and go, Clerks is kind of what it is, and Clerks 2 was kind of good. And if you're going to do Clerks 3... You know, all of us would like to see the conclusion, not just those who could be in New York.
Yeah, but I kind of just don't want them to do a third one. I felt like two tied everything up.
Well, I did too, and I don't think a third one is actually necessary. Richard, I know you're Cyloning, but what are your thoughts on Clerk 3, the play?
Yeah, I agree with Josh. I mean, I like legitimate theater and all, but I don't think Clerks needs a follow-up. I liked what you were talking about last week, which was the Clerks animated series. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Bring the animated series back. That's it. That's further adventures. It's fun. Let it go.
Damn right.
It's done. Okay. at risk of not being able to understand anything he's saying, Richard, tell me about a Captain America sequel.
Yeah, look, there will be a Captain America sequel. There's some directors in the running for it. Apparently what Kevin Feige does is he actually auditions directors to see if it'll be a good fit. So there's directors that you might necessarily think would go with a superhero movie. He sort of tries them out. So the shortlist at the moment is George Nolfi, who did the writer? He was the writer-director of the Adjustment Bureau. F. Gary Gray, who's probably best known for directing The Italian Job, and naturally, Community's Anthony and Joseph Russo.
Interesting.
That's
list.
Who I want.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, F. Gary Gray, his film The Negotiator, I really liked.
I don't think he's done much else I really liked though.
Yeah. I love his name though.
Sorry. Yeah, great name. I quite like The Italian Job as well. Look, he's got potential. Greg Nolfi, I think, has potential. I really liked The Adjustment Bureau.
Yeah.
It had heart.
I really did too. It surprised me.
It surprised me a lot. Josh, you're heartless.
Mind you, F.K.A. Gray's last film was Law Abiding Citizen, and it was a turgid piece of shit.
That's true.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll back you up on that. All right, look, I think it's a long time till we're going to get a director on this yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to end up being somebody like Joe Johnson again.
Well, don't forget, I mean, Marvel could do anything. I mean, Patty Jenkins was directing Thor 2 for the longest time and got replaced at the last minute.
That's exactly right. So I wouldn't, until the ink is dry and we actually see somebody shooting something,
yeah.
I'm not counting anybody in at this point. What's the time? 20 minutes. All right. Okay. Josh, what is the story with House at the End of the Street?
House at the End of the Street is a film.
Oh, really? Cool. Yes. Excellent.
It also has a trailer kicking around. I'm interested to almost hear everybody else's thoughts. I wish there was some way we could do that. Maybe commenting on a website of some kind. No, seriously, though, it's the most bizarre trailer. It seems to be told in reverse. I kind of get a general sense of what the what it's trying to do. But you know how sometimes a trailer just really intrigues you? This is kind of that. Also, we've got Jennifer Lawrence as the main lead.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting, fresh off Hunger Games, of course.
I do love the Film School Rejects title to this article, which says, Jennifer Lawrence's cleavage runs in fear of the house at the end of the street.
There is a lot of cleavage shots in the trailer.
I'm going to see it.
I'm not going to lie. So you guys should check that out. Let me know what you think.
I will indeed. We will check back in next week and talk about it. All right, we're running out of time fast here. So I do want to talk very quickly about the fact that James Cameron broke a record. For those who have been living under...
Just smashed it. Just picked it up and smashed it.
He just smashed it, absolutely. Thank you, Richard.
He was angry. He finally saw Avatar and thought, that was actually shit.
I was going to say perhaps he broke the record for most money stored in a house. Or possibly biggest bank account of all time. But okay, yeah, so what's the...
broke the record for, he actually did a solo submarine trip to the bottom of Mariana Trench.
Jesus Christ, really?
He did.
As a diver, that actually amazes me.
Yeah, he went down there. He's the first one to do it since 1960, which was when the only other manned vessel actually went to the bottom. But, of course, they didn't have all the wonderful cameras, lights, 3D gear, and everything else that he took down with him. So we're going to see some amazing footage from this trip. It was, let me see here. He went down in what they call a vertical torpedo, basically. he went straight down. The descent into Mariana's Trench actually took 2 hours, 36 minutes.
That would be terrifying, just saying.
So he did it. So there you go. He's going to be insufferable now.
Yeah. Because now he's got like the biggest films of all time and he's broken records.
And he's broken records. So the man is going to be
the king of the world. He's the king of the underworld now.
King of the underworld. Absolutely. So I thought we should just mention that. So Cameron, this has been one of his pet projects for a long time, and he has now done it. So, yes. And it's there's some pictures on the link we have on the show notes. You can actually see pictures of the submersible. It is actually literally a green torpedo going straight down vertically.
It's wow.
Pretty amazing stuff. But yeah, as I say, he will be. I mean, Cameron's never had a problem with his ego, let me tell you.
He killed three whales on his way down.
Just shot straight through them. He's going, get out of my way! all right. Okay, we're actually running out of time, guys, so we're going to have to cut some of these stories. I do just want to throw in one very quick last one because it's a story that kind of touches on something Josh had already covered earlier, which was, of course, we put this in the only in Hollywood category. Six. What's his name? Tom Six? Is that it? The director of The Human Centipede?
Yeah.
Is now suing his lead actor, Dieter Laser. apparently, after the Dieter Laser had actually signed the contract and had already said that it was a brilliant script and everything for Human Centipede 3, until he then turned around and said, oh, by the way, I want all these rewrites.
Wow.
And when Tom Six basically said, no, you know, this is my script and this is what we're doing, Dieter Laser Lasser, whatever, actually walked from the project and said, well, I'm not going to do it then. So now we actually have the director suing his own star because of breach of contract.
Yeah, well, that sounds fair. I mean, like, it's one thing for an actor to want things to play up perhaps better or more to what they wanted, but then to turn around and be like, okay, so you're basically going to have to take the script and do it my way, or I'm leaving.
Yeah. What I heard was, I actually heard something different, Josh, that Peter Lacer's constructing his own director out of several other directors. One long continuous director with a continuous digestive system. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well done. Well done. My clap goes out to you. That was a fine joke. Fine joke.
Okay, so, well, according to Tom Six, though, just for those who are waiting for this wonderful film, which I'm sure I will never see, he's now saying that the film will still go ahead, but they're postponing the shoot start. I'm assuming that means that they're looking for a new star, or they're waiting for the case to resolve, one of the two. But, yeah, they are going. They say the filming will begin later this year.
Right, of course, because you know we don't know what's happening with the main star yet, but still, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just throw that out later in the year. Okay, so that's it, guys. I think that's it for the news this week. At the risk of not being able to understand a word you say, Richard, where can people find more of you on the internet?
They can find me at thewheel.com. Also, they can find me at Twitter on at DVDBits.
That's awesome, man.
0001110. Destroy all humans.
That is terrific. Josh, where can we find more of you on the internet?
I can't do it. Not after that. Hold on. Okay. RawDLC.com is a gaming website. Head over there and check it out. It's got a whole bunch of really, really cool gaming stuff.
Speak up.
Nothing quite as cool as him, but we've got a lot of cool stuff.
Cool. And you can find me, of course, at geekactually.com or on Twitter at David McVeigh. That's the news for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, guys. We'll see you. Well, actually, wait, before we go. Richard, we won't see you next week. So have a wonderful trip. We'll see you in 5 weeks.
Yes.
See you later, nerds.
Goodbye.
Jordan fades back, swoosh, and that's the game! Nothing further, Your Honor.